Hey, we're back.
Hi, guys.
So, we've been really, the journey has been something else, hasn't it? Just want to check in with you guys, see how you're doing, and first and foremost. But we've really learned some things that are quite amazing lately, and God will use the most unlikely source, won't he? And for us, it's been just some messages from people that you wouldn't think, that love God, but they're not, quote, part of a institutional system of any kind. So it's like we can find truth in just about everything, right? We can hear it, we can absorb it, and then be able to acclimate it, and then go, oh, okay, that was outside of the paradigm that I've been used to. Basically being conditioned by or trained by, but I'm so grateful that it happened. And think about it this way. When you learn and glean from people, you do so on the job or your place of business. And some of them don't even go to church. Some of them don't go or don't belong to an organized religion. And so just be open to what God wants to show you in the moment, because it can come in the smallest of ways and the biggest of ways, right? Mm-hmm. How many of you have sat there and thought, I would have never guessed so-and-so would have illuminated something to me?
Right.
And it was the most unlikely source, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, how often do we just limit God from speaking to us or just delivering what we need that we've been asking for, and our desires and everything. But we've got these small boxes or programs that just keep us like, well, it can only come this way. It can only come this way, then I'll receive it. And then, it's the foolish things that confound the wise, right?
Oh, man.
And
I tell you,
it's let been, go life is the only way to go.
It really is. And then you find yourself discovering this freedom that you never knew before. And it's all in the present now, the present tense, the present place of this beautiful, wonderful place called now, where enormity exists. Enormous things can happen because we've now acknowledged the fact that we are one with the God that is bigger than the entire universe is.
Yes, the all-business.
And then you're like, whoa. All right, now I'm realizing that it's not about my own efforts that cause things to come to pass. But what can block that? And today we wanted to share some personal insights from our journey, but also just the conditioning of the mind that really brings patterns, impressions. And really, there's nobody that does it quite as well that we've found so far discovered than Michael Singer.
Oh, yeah.
And if you haven't heard of him, I tell you what, he has several books, and you don't see a whole lot of them, but he does have messages on YouTube. It's Michael Singer, not Sandler.
Yeah, Michael A. Singer.
But that's okay too.
He's good too.
Yeah. But Michael Singer has written several books. The Surrender Experiment, we've told you about that in the past.
Yeah, The Untethered Soul.
The Untethered Soul and Living the Untethered Life. Untethered Living, something like that. Anyway, we just wanted to read some excerpts out of this and discuss them because they're so good.
Yeah.
They are life transforming. If you look at this in a way to where you don't box yourself in and say, oh, that person said this, I can't listen to him anymore. Whatever you read or take in or watch a movie with, do it through the lens of unconditional love, and then you won't have these judgments towards people just because they said something that you don't agree with or that you don't understand, right? Mm-hmm. We often judge so many things, and then we block the levels of truth that God may be wanting to get to us in the moment, but because we were scared, full of fear or bias or judgment, judgmental, then we should close off some powerful insights.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just want to read out. This is the Living the Untethered Life, or Untethered Living, something like that. Right? I can't remember the title, but you'll get
it.
It's his latest one. Anyway, talking about personal thoughts layer, and he talks about how these thoughts have layers. And in this point in the book, he says, we create the personal thoughts layer when we use the tremendous intellectual power of our mind to conceptualize an outside world that will not bother us and will, in fact, make us feel good. It seems perfectly logical. The problem is what we think will make us feel good or bad is simply the result of blocked mental patterns from the past. If we use our mind's brilliance to develop thought patterns based on how everyone and everything needs to be for us to feel okay, we have limited our life to serving our... in India, they have this term called samskaras. And it just means they're these burnt in or etched in pattern thought patterns that we hold on to, whether they're good or bad. And it will not allow us, they're a blocker, will not allow us to be in reality of the now. And that's just a term in India. That's what it's called. And our personal thoughts don't stop here. What good is it to analyze how you need things to be if you're not also going to think about how to get them that way? First, we figure out the strategy of how to be okay. Then we figure out the tactics of how to make it happen. Strategy and tactics, that's military training. In essence, we are at war with the world.
AKA ego.
Oh my goodness. We are at war with the reality of what is in the present moment because of our mental patterns that we've allowed to be branded upon our minds and souls to the point that says, this is the way it is because of, you know, past conditioning and trauma. We just think that is our reality. When it's not, it's an illusion. But we think it's real because they've been etched upon our minds.
Yeah, it's our screen. It's like, wasn't he giving
it's our filter, it's our screen.
The example about the TV in the book, how the old time TVs...
Yes.
If you left it on that channel for too long, it would actually
the plasmas.
Burn. Yeah, it burn
plasma
the
screen.
Past image of the last scene, and you would be watching the next scene through that burned-in image. And isn't that so true, though? Like with life, we are looking through, you know, what rose-colored glasses. We're looking through our own experience through these lenses and making judgments about a person or a situation or anything. And it may not be that at all, but because that samskara is just burned in our image from past experiences, we keep seeing, you know, no, there's spots on this person. Well, no, it's on your lenses. No, it's on the person. No, it's on your lenses. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then how many times have you heard yourself or someone else say, well, this is just the way it is because this is how I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
And although there's a real... an attempted honor there to honor the past, it's really a blocker because whether it's good or bad, we see there's people that sit around and we've done it too. You know, we sit around and you talk about the good old days. Oh, I wish it could be like this again. Or I wish you go back to a restaurant, right? And your favorite meal is not there. So what did they do with that? Or Costco, they had your favorite product.
Or what, your favorite sample.
And it's not there anymore. What happened? Well, instead of allowing that etching to dictate what's real and now and present in front of us, which could be even better, there could be a better Costco sample. You're like, how could that be? Well, there is. And then we don't allow ourselves to feel the fullness of where God actually lives in the present moment.
Now. It's the unknown of your own self. And so you're so afraid to... You know, oh, I'm going to fail or look like a failure. I'm going to look incompetent because it's something new. And so it's no different than people always hassling the younger generation on texting. Texting. Why can't they just call us?
Oh,
you know,
my goodness.
Back in my day, you know, we actually called people. And a lot of times that's a cover up because they don't want to learn. Yes, we get the whole relationship part. Yes, granted, you know, you still need to learn relationship skills. But a lot of times it's a cover up because they feel inadequate learning the new texting stuff. So they got to boohoo it and rise up in their old selves and say these young kids don't know anything, you know.
Right.
It's a cover up. It's a cover up, I'm telling you.
It is. It's a stagnation that says my way is the right way without being open to look past the patterns or even become aware that we have patterns that are controlling our lives, you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have we done something habitually? We have this habit or this addiction and you're like, man, I want to get free. And then you wind up going through all of these counseling sessions and, you know, as good as they might be, going through all of these formulaic things. And then you discover, I still have this addiction. Well, why is that? It's because something was etched upon are branded. I like to say branded because it's like a burning in of the mind and a soul that says this is the way it is and you just can't get past this. Well, the best way to come through that and to break those cycles and those patterns is to present ourselves to the now by letting go into the now and receiving. It's not rocket science. It's not anything complicated. In fact, it's more childlike than anything. Even this morning when we were soaking and just meditating and just receiving, it was like I heard the still small voice say, you know, it's easier than you think. That's why the ego paddles up. That's why the ego doesn't like it because it wants to complicate things. Do you ever notice that?
And get the rewards for saying, see, I was right. See, you need me. See.
Exactly. And this is why Christ always went around saying, humble yourself like a child, become like a child, for such is the kingdom of love. And why? Because a child lives in the wonder of the moment. You ever notice that they don't walk around at, you know, 2 and 3 and 4 years old as a toddler or 5 years old and say, oh man, I just wish I could get over this old pattern. I wish I could break this thing. Oh man, I'm just grieving because it's just the addiction is just driving me up the wall. And why am I always a bad kid? And are you kidding me? You know, if they've been really conditioned, then maybe if they're beyond their years, they might say something like that. But most kids just have fun playing in the moment. And then they go to the next thing, and the next thing filled with wonder because the day, the moment is filled with synchronistic wonders.
Yeah.
There's no blockages there. So why don't we as adults? Because we've been conditioned and those impressions just lock and load us into the past or longing for a better day in the future or even hold on to good old memories. It's like we used to talk about, Amy and I, a lot about why is it that, you know, family and friends and they always want to take us to the past, the good old days of high school or college.
Yeah, when I was your age. And
yeah, and then you're like,
back in the day,
I wish it could be like this.
And I hit the home run. And it's like, okay, that's nice, but what have you done with yourself now? You know, and it's like they've chose to let it just go downhill from there. Never mind that there, you know, life is a full blooming moment after moment after moment. And as you keep walking forward, the bloom's supposed to just get more incredible, more fragrance. To where, you know, you're 60 and you're just like lock and loaded with wisdom and the most incredible, relevant, cutting edge ideas and businesses or whatever is coming. Plus, you have all this experience now. And instead, so many people will get stuck at their glory moment or their glory day and they just stop developing. And so all they actually allowed themselves to bloom into is just those three petals, you know, because that's all where their attention is. That's where their focus is.
It really is.
Self-development is so important, you know.
And even
just being connected up, right? Getting the downloads.
Yeah. And then, you know, and we talk about this too. It's just like, okay, the self-help days, they had their consciousness level and they're kind of over with, right? It's the self-development is saying, look, I'm looking at myself and letting development happen. It's nothing that I can make happen on my own. There's no formulas. There's no patterns, if you will. It's just letting the patterns of old that have been etched unravel.
Mm-hmm.
And then begin to see through that lens of, ooh, first of all, I'm aware that this is happening.
Yeah.
And I'm holding on to and I'm anchoring into the good and the bad impressions. But also it's blocking me from living in the wonder and the wild adventure of the now, where anything is possible.
Yes.
See, this is where Christ and others that walk, the sages of old, this is where they walked and lived. They lived and moved and had their being in this present moment of the wonder of the now, saying, okay, that was great yesterday, but I'm not going to anchor into that. I'm not going to hold that. I'm not going to take that thought in because that's where my ego wants to build an empire.
Mm-hmm.
It wants to build upon this revelation and knowledge and say, see, look what I did.
Well, it's like in your book, Effortless Provision, where it talks about levels of understanding and people camping on that level and they don't want to move. And as we all know and we're experiencing, things are just so escalating in the growth of the world mm-hmm. right now. And again, things being dismantled and refigured and reset. But it's going at such a momentum where you're just not allowed to just keep holding on to what you thought you knew.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, when the wind comes and blows everything out, you got to start over and start new and be ready for the upgrade. It only means upgrades are coming. Good things.
Yeah, it really does, because it's like we're so patternized to believe that it has to look a certain way. For example, some of you have lost your jobs during COVID, and maybe you're listening to this and you don't have a job. And so you're panicking because the rent's coming up or your credit card bills are past due or whatever, about ready to lose your car. And then in your mind, because of the patterns, says the patterns are speaking and you're listening to those patterns saying, well, it's going to be 3 weeks before I get a paycheck if I get a job. And then I've got to pay this bill. And then I might have to sacrifice this, but I can't sacrifice the car. See, you're already planning, built back upon the patterns.
Strategizing.
When living in the present moment can produce an entire month's worth of pay in one split second.
If you're listening.
That's right. You never know where that's coming from. And we call those blindsided blessings. And they can happen. And we have an example of that. Just a small thing, but it's huge. About a key card. And
perfect timing.
Perfect timing.
God's been talking to us all the time. It's just timing. Delays are not denials, right? It's just timing. Just keep walking forward.
But the story about the key card. So
okay, where we live, we're in a gated community, and there's, you know, you got to have a little card to get into the pool area. And we didn't have one yet from our landlord. And she's like, well, I've never needed it or used it, but I do have one, so I'll give it to you. And we'd got in there fine before, you know,
it was
just unlocked all the time. So we get a knock at the door and our landlord had left the key. And we're like, oh, okay, cool. And we were right then getting ready to go down to the pool. And so we brought it and it just so happens the door was completely locked and we couldn't have gotten in without that key card. And God knew. He knew. It's just those little kisses, you know, that he knows what we desire and need before we even ask him. And it's just staying in that flow and
synchronicities in the present moment, because we've allowed the blockages to the degree that we have. You know, there's a lot more ascension to be happening here, but we allowed them to happen to where we've become aware, first of all, that patterns block.
Yeah.
And impressions of the mind block the now blessings from happening. And it's really potent, because when you become aware and you start seeing these things, then you're like, okay, what else? Then you become a wondrous and childlike saying, okay, what else is around the corner? What else is happening? And then you become expectant, but not with expectations of a certain outcome. There's a difference there.
Yes, isn't that you another big thing?
It is. You can be acceptant. You can be expectant. Excuse me. Expectant.
But detached from the outcome.
But be detached from the way it's going to happen, the way it's the timing of it, and then the outcome.
Which offloads your ego responsibility.
So there really is no
strategizing. There is no any of that kind of stuff. It's just total surrender to the moment and what calls to you each moment. And letting God handle the outcome. You know, one of the guys we listened to, we love what he said, where he said, look, trust, let the professional do the job, you know, and God's the professional. Yeah. Let him do his job.
he's the skilled one.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to this, it's like, okay, we're becoming aware that we can manifest things, but we don't find identity in the manifester. We don't find identity in that. If we're allowing ourselves to be fluid in the moment, then we won't be anchored in titles or functionality to the point to where ego has a stronghold to take a hold of that and say, this is now your identity.
Right.
And when we do that, we're listening to these impressions that say it has to be a certain way. Just because you manifested something doesn't mean it's going to happen the same way again. Do you ever notice that?
Hello, look at Jesus, miracles.
Exactly.
Different every time. Never
did the same one twice. And it's like, okay, what does that mean? Well, he was a master at living in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where love lives.
Yeah.
Listen to this. just continuing on with, in essence, we are at war with the world. That is so powerful. The personal mind has taken on the task of how to get the world unfolding in front of you to be the way you want. That should set off alarm bells, because we've already discussed in great detail where the world in front of you comes from, and it has nothing to do with what's going on inside your head. And he talks about all of that in the previous chapters. The moment in front of you is the result of all the natural forces that caused it to be as it is. The preference system in your mind is a result of the past experiences that you couldn't handle. These are two totally different sets of forces that have nothing to do with each other. For example, there are current impersonal forces that are causing it to rain. There are past personal forces causing you to not like the rain. You have just pitted yourself against the universe, and you are going to lose. Nevertheless, the personal mind thinks it's right. You actually think that the universe should be the way you want it to be.
Yes. And he's, and Michael is so, so good about pointing out, you know, if something's not a certain way, it's because I'm not okay inside. It's the disturbances. He has some podcasts you guys got to check out. If you just go on to his podcast, Michael Singer, and he breaks down so many of those with analogies.
Really good.
You know, why we do what we do. Why are we at war with the world? Because we need, and how we got to get everything lined up to fit our preferences. Otherwise, we're not okay, and we don't like that. And this is disturbing me. That person's disturbing me. This home's disturbing me. The weather's disturbing me.
Yeah.
All these things, and they're just all preferences. Or I need this outcome to be a certain way. Otherwise, I'm not okay. And that, again, goes to the whole detaching from the outcome and being okay right here in the now. And okayness is now having a magnetic effect. So you're going to get, hey, A-OK, this is coming your way.
A-O-A-O-K.
Yeah.
You know, it's really true. And the personal preferences that we, like he just said, like we lay hold of, it's because of the memory banks that say this was a good experience, this was a bad experience. I didn't like that. And so I'm going to avoid that at all costs.
Yeah.
But I like that. So I want another one of those. So we wind up going back to Costco thinking that our jalapeno olives are still there, which really irritates me if they're not. But see, I'm disturbed.
Her acai bites,
right? So they're not there. And we're like, wait a minute. This was a really feel-good moment.
I drove all this way.
That's right.
And you're not paying up here.
You're not producing for me.
You're not producing.
And so now
I'm not okay.
Yeah, I'm not okay.
I'm not okay with this.
So then I live by personal.
Popped off with our computer.
You know, hey, personal preferences.
There we go.
Personal preferences here.
Looks like it's back on.
Technology. Yeah. Anyway, personal preferences. It's like, wow, you know. I want it to be a certain way. I want my jalapeno olives. I want the computer to work. I want the program to work. And if I don't, then I'm like, I'm not okay. And who said that that's the way it should be? It's the patterns inside of us, because God's always in a good mood, and he doesn't have issues of patterns stuck in his head going, whatever that looks like, okay, I don't want it to rain today. I don't feel like rain today. So I'm just going to withhold.
Yeah, I'm going to be in a bad mood if it rains. You're already setting yourself up. I'm going to be in a bad mood if something that I can't control, really, you know, unless you've really learned to cross over to the quantum realm. No, I'm just...
Exactly.
But still, no. How many times do we do that? We set ourselves up from a past experience because last time when it rained, I had a horrible experience, or, you know... And it's just another layer, isn't it, guys? It's coming off, and we're becoming awareness, you know, becoming aware too.
Yeah.
It's like I heard it say 95% is awareness is your breakthrough. 95% of your breakthrough is all to awareness.
That's amazing when you think about that high of a percentage, and you know that's somewhere correct. Somewhere in the ballpark, because when we become aware, then we see it for what it is.
Yeah.
And then you realize, ooh, that was a pattern in my life that even though it may have been good, there's always something better. And we're not just talking about grandiose kind of you know, I'm always looking around the corner for something, quote, better. And living in the present moment positions us to say, okay, I am content whether the big things are happening or not, because my soul is at ease, it's at rest. And the one thing unconditional love does for us is it puts us at rest. If you're not at rest, then there's still conditioning going on, more than likely saying your operating system is still synced into the patterns and the impressions of those things from the past. How many times do those things dictate where we're headed in life, whether it's moving somewhere, relationships, callings, businesses,
new places, new faces,
the dating life, whatever. And then we're like, this is the way it is because this is what my mind's telling me it is. Well, you don't have to listen to your mind. Did you know that? You're not your mind, your spirit.
Yeah. And this is really good in Michael's book too, where he talks about your thoughts, the thoughts going by and how you can just watch them go by. But a lot of times we will hold on to them, and therefore whatever you put your attention on, you activate. And so now you have just brought that in and you're giving it the attention, and now it's becoming an idea and forming, and now you've got this new lens. It's almost like thoughts are almost like these pair of glasses, right? And the ones you want to just pick up and look through, that's the experience you're going to get. When I was soaking, meditating the other day, God was showing me this image about, like, my whole being was covered with all these outlets, like plug-in outlets, and how thoughts are like these plug-ins, and they're looking for access to plug in and power up their reality. And how God said, look, turn all your outlets inward into me and power up with the one who knows it all, is, you know, all powerful, all provision, all protection, and just where there is no access to these other thoughts and other people and other things trying to plug in and have their way be broadcast in your viewpoint and beliefs. So it's really, you know, I love his analogy.
So good. So good. And so it's like when we're looking at what we're thinking about, and, you know, this is what is so good about watching them go by, like the thoughts. And really what I was shown by God the other day was I'm sitting there soaking, meditating, and just in receive mode. And I heard, take no thought for tomorrow. And he broke it down. It's like, okay, take no thought. Yeah. So what the ego loves to do, it loves to take. It doesn't want to give anything. It's just all about itself. So when you take, you're actually siding with ego, and it's ego saying, I'm going to take that and I'm going to hold on to it. And here comes the impression. Here comes the etching and the burning and the branding of that very thought on your soul and your mind. And when you don't take, what are you doing? You're watching them go by, and you're freely open to let it go. And that's what love does, right? Love keeps an open hand and doesn't cling on to it as if it's its own when it comes to relationships and things like that. So anything, really. I mean, when we hold on tightly to things, then we find out that it's really birthed out of ego saying it has to be a certain way in order for me to feel good or feel right or have great conditions so that I feel safe and secure.
Feel secure, yep, exactly. And that's when we become rigid.
Yeah. So take no thought for tomorrow. Why is that? Why is that very verse there in the Bible? You know, it's take no thought for tomorrow, for today.
Take it. Let it go by.
Yeah. That today has its own problems, has its own situations, has its own issues, has its own goodness in today. Mm-hmm. But today is today. The moment is the moment. And so when we're taking, it's more of the egoic side that says, I have to have it this way. What are you doing? You're interrupting my patterns here.
Or I'm not okay.
I'm not okay. Don't you do that, spirit. And then, so the argument is between the two. The war is between the two if we allow it. And so what I like to look at is, and I don't know why I keep seeing this, but it's just an analogy. You know, there's many other ones. But when ego is trying to be the backseat driver, And one thing that bothers me and irritates me, and you know, a lot of people it does, but I'm just talking about myself right now, and again, disturbed, and I shouldn't be, but you know, hey, we're all expanding, we're all growing, is somebody in the backseat trying to dictate to the driver where they should go and all of that, when you, in fact, if you're looking at this from a spirit ego standpoint and spirit's driving the car, it already has its GPS system built in, God positioning system, GPS. So the spirit is leading, but then ego is always trying to climb over that seat and say, let me show you a better way.
Because I know better.
Take a shortcut here. Take a left. Mm-hmm. Take a left. And you're like, I got this. GPS is on.
Yeah, showing me a new way. Because the ego only knows the old way, right? It only has records of the past. It does not have access to the new way, but your spirit does.
Exactly. And it's, you know what's interesting too, is when somebody comes, and it's usually the older generation, okay, but there's younger ones that do this too, but mostly the older generation that says, okay, let me write down some instructions and some directions for you of where,
how to get to this place,
you know, Costco is. And you're like, hold on, there's a GPS for that. And they're like, well, no, I've been here 100 times.
And you'll tell them like 3 times. Yeah. No, I just look it up on my phone through Google or GPS. And they just keep on.
It doesn't compute.
Their ego wants to be right and tell you what they know, you know. So you got to just listen. And
yeah, it's no judgment. It's just the consciousness level of what they were raised in. And in 5 years from now, we're going to be probably trying to do, why don't you listen to that GPS? Turn the GPS on your phone. And then the younger generation is like, excuse me, there's a millisecond faster, you know, way to do this. Or
you can get there. I'll show you the hologram.
Yeah, I'll show you the hologram here.
Which
you
just probably already
now. Just follow the avatar down there and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we do this all the time, and it's okay as long as we don't allow the ego to keep us stuck in these impressions.
Yes, in the old, and not be flexible for the new.
Oh, man, because it's so much, there's so much joy, and there's so many possibilities. And I used to buy into this, and still, you know, I struggle with this still sometimes, where I, you know, like on a Sunday, is anybody else, if you can relate to this? Like if it's Sunday and you're in your head going, well, I have to wait till Monday, a business day, for anyone to call me back, for it to get anything business-wise done, to hear the answer for the interview, and it's Sunday. So you're sitting there just, you know, tapping the desk and pulling your hair out and going, oh, can't wait for Monday to hear something back.
Because I'm not okay until I hear something back.
Because I'm not okay. And when in reality, when we posture ourselves in the now,
paddles up.
What's the difference between Sunday and Monday? Anything can happen on a Sunday.
Yeah, because you're now eternal now.
That's it. And God doesn't play by Sundays and Mondays. It's like the spirit transcends all time and transcends all linear things, saying that it has to be a certain way from a certain person that has to call you. And I can't tell you how many times when I've started practicing this that I got the call on a Sunday or that something happened. Look, I just recently, We wanted to get our oil changed and our Subi, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to wait. It was like on a Friday, and I call in to get an appointment because at this one place you have to get an appointment. So I'm like, okay, I'm probably gonna have to wait till Monday, and I really want to get this thing done today if they have an opening, because it's overdue. And then the guy on the phone goes, okay, well, I'm gonna put you down for 12:00 Sunday.
Yeah, we're like, what? You're open?
They're like, you're open on a Sunday, Firestone? And they're like, yeah, we're open because we're having a big sale going on. And I'm like, awesome. Wow, cool. So it's like that just blew the grid of the patterns, saying that it has to be on a Monday or a weekday, right? It happens all the time. So when we open ourselves to say, okay, I'm going to posture myself to say, I'm going to enjoy the little nuances in the day in front of me. I'm just going to remain open, and that if anything comes into my experience that's negative or positive, help me not to have preferences, because even the seemingly negative things can have huge, huge transformational impacts on us in such a way that comes out the other side that brings not only growth, but the very things that we wanted or didn't even know we wanted, and they were better for us. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't know we needed or wanted each other. The need thing, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah,
the need for the want is.
We could have been settling for less because of the current grid we had at the time.
Yeah.
And so that you start looking, you know, we often settle or look for less because it's manageable, right? For the ego, where God's like, hold up, I got something up here I want to connect you with right now because it's going to pull you up here and you're going to keep ascending for the long run instead of something that's going to keep you at just a low level, so to speak, for the rest of your life that you have to keep rescuing or you have to keep, you know, making work because you did it in your own strength. You bought into something that you could manage, you know, and fix, or thought you could, or rescue so that you wouldn't be abandoned, right? I mean, it's just...
So, it's so true. And the personal mind is very personal to you. It's unique. It's individual. And so, you know, when we try to compare, it doesn't do any good. Yet the egoic world compares all the time. Compares and competes. Compares and judges.
Oh.
Judges. And, you know, when you live in spirit and through spirit, saying, wait a minute.
It celebrates.
I don't have preferences. And it's like, oh, yeah, I enjoyed that chocolate thing yesterday. But what's waiting for me in chocolate land today? Or... how about transcending chocolate to something even better that hasn't even been discovered yet that's totally healthy for us?
Just living a life of awe and wonder every day.
Awe and wonder.
Even Michael Singer says in his book, he goes like, my motto now, how I live, is every day is Christmas. And he's like, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what God is going to do in my life today. And he just gives up control and trying to figure everything out and all those stresses and just enjoys being like a little kid. Detaching from the outcomes, detaching from preferences, and just being in that place of okayness and allowing. Yeah. And you'll know, right? You still have your spirit guiding you with the leads and prompts of something's safe and something's not safe. But this is where relationship comes in. You know, it's a horrible existence in life to live if you're just living by formulas and dotted I's and T's crossed and all these methodical things. It's just very dry, rigid way to live.
It really is, because what if they don't work?
Yeah, where if you're connected to source, connected to God, the divine, the creator of all things, where you came from, there is just this most beautiful unfolding relationship on a daily basis. And this is so our heart, is to just model that out, live that out in front of you guys of what's life like, just having a daily relationship with God and just totally de-religifying and demystifying. Yeah. And just bringing it back into just
awe and wonder.
Awe and wonder and childlikeness. And in simplicity.
In the smallest of ways to the biggest of ways. Mm-hmm. And the, like we said before, the ego loves to look for the big, exciting rushes. Mm-hmm. And although those are great when you get on a zip line for the first time, or you go on a cruise, or you go to your country you've been dreaming of, and then you're like, wow, this is amazing. Like the first time we went to Hawaii, we felt like we were in Jurassic Park because we went into Hilo, and Hilo's more jungle-like. And then we went over to the desert side, and we're like, whoa, okay, this is interesting.
Wow, this is wild.
But nevertheless, it was like awe and wonder. And so you long for that feeling, right? And this is what heroin addicts, this is what dope fiends, this is what...
hit.
It's a dopamine hit.
Newness.
But it always wants to lock itself into that exact, time and space. Okay, how do I get back to that? Notice the verbs, the verbiage there. How do I get back to living that way? How do I get back to that excitement? How do I get back? Well, there's no going back. Everything's present. Everything's in this moment. Mm-hmm. Everything is accessible in this moment. It's unfolding. And so we're not the same people we were 5 years ago when you ate that burger in wherever land, and then it tasted so good. And then you transcended meat. And then you're like, now you're this ultra vegan, and you're like, meat what? That's horrific. You know, speaking of that, it's like, and we're going to be discussing a lot of about health, and that's, you'll see it on Paddles Up in the health section, because this has become a real issue, not only because of COVID, but just where we were sitting at in America. Western nations, we are the most sick, overweight people on the planet. And it's for a reason. It's because of these patterns, you guys. A lot of it's because of the patterns and the impressions that we're talking about. So once that is dealt with,
and disconnection,
then your body will begin to line up, mm-hmm. and then the weight will begin to drop. Sometimes supernaturally, it just falls off.
Yeah, because sometimes it's really emotionally related. You know, just like
it really is.
Eat, you know, acidic stuff that's harming your cells. Your body will also change your chemistry when you're stressed into an acidic slurry. And so where when you're in peace, it creates an alkaline slurry around your cells and everything. It's just amazing how this body's wired. But yeah.
It really is. And so we, you know, it's one of those things where we look at this from a 360-degree view as much as possible. And a good time to do this is to allow yourself to start the morning. His mercies are new every morning.
Yes.
Grace is fresh every morning. And so when you wake up, even if you feel like you only have 10 or 15 minutes, then that's a beginning where you can just sit with soft music or silence.
Mm-hmm.
And just sit and listen to the rain and the thunder and the lightning that's happening outside our window right now. It's funny how we talked about preferences of rain, and here it is right outside of our window. But you just sit and listen to the nature, listen to silence, whatever it may be, and you go, okay, I'm just going to allow thoughts to come up, because they will, believe me, when you first start this, you're going to have some crazy thoughts, and they'll just be flooding your mind. Before you allow the expansion to happen, and then the thoughts become less and less and less.
It's kind of like, you know, when you first turn on a hose or a water spigot, it's like the debris comes shooting out first. The sediment that has been in there comes shooting out first. And if you'll just stay in the river, right, stay in there, then all of a sudden the pure stream will start coming forward and you hit this peace zone or the flow zone. Right? And it's just, you gotta just stay with it. Just stay with it.
Yeah.
Allow the thoughts to pass. And you know, a quick way, as simple as it is, and you know, God caught me on this the other day. Like, I woke up and I was just thinking about, you know, how you do. You think about your conversations, and I should have said this. And then you start beating yourself up, or you start doubting, or just different things, right? It was negative. And then God just simply said, stop and start counting your blessings.
Yeah.
And the moment I did, I just instantly switched. I'm like, oh, I'm thankful for John. I'm thankful for this home. I'm thankful. And just, boop, it just lifted. It was just, you know, why do we complicate things, you know? It's a simple fix.
It really is. And so it's the patterns become our reality if we allow them, but it's not reality. It's an illusion.
Yeah.
So the past is really illusionary because it's not true to who you really are in the bigness,
the now.
We're way bigger than our past. We're way bigger than our future even. The time that we're the biggest is right here, right now, because this is what we've come to realize is that, wait, I only have breath in the moment. Life is like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow.
Right.
Like the saying says, you know, it's like, okay, life is like a vapor here today. It's here today in its fullness. The vapor, you can see it. The spirit, the breath in the wind, you can see it. You can feel yourself right here in your frame in the fullness of the now, if you allow yourself to. Bring it back into the now, the past and the future, and allow something new to spring up that you hadn't realized wasn't really new, had been there all along, because everything is in the moment. It's in the present.
Yeah.
And it's like I've often said, why does God choose up to take residence in us in the present? You notice how he doesn't sit there and have conversations with us about the past or so much even in the future, because God knows that if he's talking to you all about the future, then you're going to miss the present moment of that breath and that interaction of relational activity between you and him and with your loved ones or anybody else that you're interacting with. And more importantly, the bigness of all-encompassing oneness that actually translates into everything we could ever want, need, or desire. It just may not look like your old patterns. I can't tell you how many times this has happened where people, we've heard from people with relationships, and it's happened to myself, where I thought this person was it. I thought they were the one. You know, I told the story before, but for the sake of those that are just now listening, I met an Amy before this Amy, and I thought that Amy was it. And then I even had somebody, one of her friends, come up and tell me in tears in her eyes, and she said, you know what, I really feel like I've heard from God, and this Amy's not it. You know, you need to let go. And I got so angry about that. I'm like, who do you think you are interfering in this mess? I mean, this relational thing.
I'm not okay until I find my mate.
And how many, maybe you've struggled with this, but how many times have we heard this, and you've heard this from people like, no, they're the one. And so, you know,
they wanted it so bad to get rid of that disturbance of them not feeling okay.
Yeah. And we've even known people that are believing for a mate that was married to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, I kind of get that if you feel a connection there, but you know, the reality is they're married to somebody else right now, or they're with somebody else, and you're going to sit around and wait for them forever? Why not live your life here in the now? And that person that you thought was it could have just been a glimpse of what it could be in a place of freedom, because they're not free to be yours.
Of somebody coming that's even better, you know, or whatever, right? That's between you and God.
So it's really interesting how we lock into, just because we look at something that we really desire, and we're like, no, that's, I'm locking it in. And you know, athletes do this a lot, right? Athletes will bear down and they'll say, okay, it has to look a certain way. And this is what's always cracked me up about sports teams. One side's praying they'll win, the other side's praying they'll win. Well, they're just going to cancel each other out, because it's like God's going to say, okay, who should I pick today? Like, he's going to sit there and say, oh,
who gets to learn the ego lesson today?
Yeah, let's see. Should it be the Seahawks today, or should it be the Broncos today?
Or the Cardinals today? The
Cardinals. Let's see. Well, which one's praying harder to me right now? Which one's getting the loudest so that I can bear down and say, okay, you are a good little team today, so you get the win. And then the other ones, what does that do to the other ones? They're like, well, God, you didn't hear me. And maybe we didn't pray loud enough. Yeah. So it really doesn't work that way. Because there's preferences involved, right? There goes the preferences again. Mm-hmm. How about just throwing your hands in the air like you just don't care and say, help us to have a blast playing today. And if we win, we win. If we don't, we don't. And chances are, that's when it happens.
Same with a mate, same with a job, same with, because you let go of the resistance and you've entered into a higher vibration and frequency of celebration. And just, you know, again, it paddles up so the current can take you. And being okay, you're okay either way.
Yeah, that's allowing the patterns and the impressions to break up so you can see the daylight of the reality of the now, going, whoa, joy is way better than a predicted outcome.
Than needing something.
Allowing yourself to feel joy and contentment right now is pays dividends that go far beyond any predicted outcome. Mm-hmm. It really does, because you thought, and then when you get to, it's like the millionaires and the billionaires, they finally get the first million, they finally get the billion, they're like, okay, why am I feeling this way? I don't feel like I thought I would.
Or they won a Grammy or an Emmy or different things like that, you know? Like even Tony Robbins, when he was sharing about how when he first, you know, he hit his goal, was it 10,000 people? For his, you know, he just broke all these records, and he said it was the most depressed he'd ever been.
He's like, oh, I had this grandiose expectation because everybody conditioned me to believe that it was going to be a certain way.
Had all these promises. But same with, like, we've heard so many people say, like, when I hit my 100,000 and got the plaque, the YouTube plaque, and I was just like, oh, I wanted it so bad. But now it's like,
the followers.
It just didn't hit me anymore. And you know, I love it. Like Kyle Cease talks about, and so many others, about how it's just when you're ready for it, it's like just the natural next step. And this is just with everything, isn't it, you guys? With mates, with jobs, with anything in your life. it should be the natural next step, so that there's none of this stress or like, you know, putting people on pedestals, you know, or just anything. It's like, oh yeah, yeah. Hey, good to meet you. You know, there's none of this anymore. You know, it's an easy flow, and it's with paddles up. God knows when you're ready, and he will the current will shift according to how ready you are too, a lot of times, and how surrendered you are.
So yeah, paddles up.
Enjoy the ride.
Paddles up, for you those that don't know. It's just it's what we've been sharing on this site. Paddlesup.fun is all about taking these paddles that are so used to holding on tightly and making things happen, locking it in and fighting our way for our own rights and our own way of doing things and that what we see to be the outcome. And it's just letting go and raising your hands in victory, saying, I'm going to sink into the now and sink into heart-centeredness to where the current can take me.
Of your spirit.
Where the current knows the current is going to bring the best benefit out of every situation, yeah. Including our own lives. How many times have you thought an outcome was going to happen? Okay. And then it happened completely different. And you're like, whoa, this is much better. Not only for the growth of my soul, but oh my goodness.
I never thought about it this way.
We've heard a lot of people say, I would have never thought I'd be doing this right now. I thought I was on the path to being a doctor or a lawyer or whatever it may be. And they're like, I would have never guessed I'm doing what I'm doing right now. And they're so good at it. You know, there's many people that you can think of, perhaps in your own life or watched or seen some. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's amazing because oftentimes, and it doesn't have to happen this way, but oftentimes adversity causes us to realize those patterns are controlling my life. Mm-hmm. And then some tragedy happens to wake somebody up because they were so entrenched in those impression patterns that they couldn't wake up. And so here comes a hardship.
New thing birthing.
That birthed some new thing that wasn't new, but it was there all along, just in a thin layer they couldn't see because they weren't awake. They were still listening to the patterns.
Right. We've all heard the stories of sports figures that, you know, they had their scholarships, they're going to go into all this kind of stuff, and then their Achilles snaps or they get some injury and now they can't pursue that, and they go through the dark night of the soul and identity crisis, and all of a sudden something else comes up, you know, a gift of music. And then they become these world-renowned singers and musicians. And
you're like, what?
Yeah, just doing incredible things in the world. And, you know, here they were on the course for one way. This is why, again, it's so important to paddles up, be flexible, and know that your spirit is connected to your soul contract, right? Things you agreed to before you come here. This is why it's so important to drop into that, because our ego so tries to blind us to that and go with what society tells us to do or our upbringing told us to do. And we forget the soul contract. We're not tuned into it with our spirit. And so this is, again, why it's so important to surrender, be flexible. Just don't hold on to needing anything that's going to make you, quote, feel better or to find your identity in it, because it'll break, right? You just hold on loosely. Paddles up.
Yeah. And really what we're talking about resonates so much with the spirit, because this old way of formulaically, motivationally
trying to
force an outcome because of our hard work, sweat, and toil and labor, those days of consciousness have passed. And so if you're still in that, you know, don't condemn yourself. Yeah, there's no judgment.
It served a time, right?
Its time, and it's gotten you maybe successful in your own way, or what you think successful is. Mm-hmm. And now it's time for a new awakening to say, hey, let's ascend higher here. Yeah. Because when we do, then money doesn't have a hold on us. Fame, success, it's not an identity. It doesn't have a grip. It doesn't have a hold. It's just, I am part of the bigness of all that is.
Yeah, and you're ready for the next level of development, because we're really here. We're learning how to love. We're learning how to mature and grow. Yeah. We're here at Earth School. And it's just, more than anything, the outward things are our teachers, so to speak, for the inward development. And
they really are. Yeah, and it's profound when you begin, and then you start seeing these synchronicities and these miraculous things pop out of thin air, and they're like right in front of you, and you're going, whoa, I didn't do anything to earn that. Exactly.
But just stay in exactly. a surrendered flow. And this is, it's like you have the two paths, and we'll wrap this up here. I know it's been long, but you have the two paths. It's like you can do it in your own ego, go it alone, detached from God or whatever, you know, and you'll be trudging through the mud and the rocks and slipping and, you know, just trying to see your way. Or you can allow the current of God. You can allow His flow to come through that puts you up into the flow state. And you can be looking down on those circumstances and just flowing right so over good. Them effortlessly, because His current's now propelling you. And it's just a much better way in life to go.
Yep.
So we want to be guided, right?
We want to be up a creek without a paddle. That's exactly where we want to be, so that we can allow.
So that we can surrender and actually flow downstream into the in the sea of opportunities.
That's right? Just it right there. So the personal mind, that's, wow, there's so much to talk about on this, but for time's sake, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you so much for yes. chiming in, and we love to, you know, your feedback, and we just so appreciate you and who you are and all your bigness, because you are bigger than you think and realize. And
yeah.
we're just here to share some of our experiences and the stories along the way and just our journey and
cheer you on.
Yeah, to cheer you on and just to say you've got this. You've got this. You're bigger than you know. So check out the other things on the site, paddlesup.fun. More and more will be added consistently, and we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Take care, guys. Paddles up.
All right. Bye-bye.